I'd like to welcome all of you to Nature Retreat 19. It was 19 years ago today, or at least on the third Saturday of September, I believe, that we started having our nature retreat. And we were located in the north end of Pearl State Park in the shelter, which worked out very well until we couldn't have that place anymore because they had a ranger come in and other things were scheduled. So then we've moved into the hall here, Sportsman's Club in Tremplo, and I've been here ever since. And it doesn't seem like it's been 19 years already. None of you look any older, but the children are older now. It's the only difference that I can see. We're going to be looking at the moon this afternoon. Kind of an overview. Astronomers give the moon pretty short shrift. Scientists have done a lot of work with it. Millions of dollars have been spent, as you know. A lot of pictures have been taken, and men have even walked on the moon. The reason the scientists give it so much attention is because it's the closest thing to our Earth. But as far as astronomers are concerned, the moon doesn't count for much of anything. It's minuscule in size, and it doesn't even have its own light. Artists, songwriters, and poets have quite a different view of the moon. How many songs have been written with the moon as the center? Think of the beautiful Moonlight Sonata by Beethoven, Stardau. How many cameras have clicked pictures of the beauty of the moon? How many poets have written poems about it? How many marriage proposals have been made under the light of the silvery moon? But there's a danger with that moon too. It's kind of a two-edged sword. And some people figure this out. There was a young man one time, a song was written back when I was little. I can remember it. Most of you probably cannot. But this man had a problem. He was deeply in love with this beautiful girl, and he was going to be leaving her for quite some period of time. And he wasn't quite sure how strong the relationship was. He wasn't sure whether it would be absence makes the heart grow fonder, or out of sight, out of mind. So he wrote his lover a song. I'm not going to sing it to you because you'd all get up and leave, but I will read the words. And he was warning her about something. He said, "Don't let the stars get in your eyes. Don't let the moon break your heart. Love blooms at night. In daylight it dies. Don't let the stars get in your eyes. Oh, keep your heart for me, for someday I'll return, and you know you're the only one I'll ever love." Another young man had just the reverse situation. He was going to be staying home, but his lover was going to be moving away for a summer vacation. She was going to be gone in June, July, and August. And he loved her very much, and he wanted her to have a good time, but not too good a time. So he gave her this warning: have a good time, but remember, there's danger in the summer moon above. And then the question: will I see you in September or lose you to a summer's love? Well, yeah, it's a two-edged sword. There is danger in that moon above. And that's a warning that the children of Israel would have done well to take heed, but sadly they didn't. And I'm thinking of 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 5. "And he, Josiah, put down the idolatrous priests and the kings of Judah, which they had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to all the host of heaven." And this is a mistake that has been made numerous times throughout history. People worshiping the creation rather than the Creator. But that's another story. How important actually is the moon? Well, if we're going to rightly answer that question, we can't go to the astronomers. We have to go to Holy Scripture and the one who put the moon up there in the first place, and see what he says about it. "In the beginning," then, the book of Genesis, "and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night." Well, last nature retreat we studied about the sun. That's the first great, that's the greater of the two great lights. And we found out that in Scripture, the S-U-N is a type of the capital S, capital O, capital N. And numerous times, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is compared with the sun. The most key place is Psalm 19, which begins with these words: "The heavens declare the glory of God." Well, Jesus Christ is the glory of God, so we could say, "The heavens declare Jesus Christ." And then, relating it to the sun, further on in the psalm, "In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race." So the sun is one of those two great lights. The moon is the second one. Surprisingly. Because, as we said, it doesn't give off any of its own light. The glory of the moon consists in this: that it reflects the light of the sun. And that's why it's a great light. It's the only reason. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 through 9 puts it this way. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's how God looks at it. Now, astronomers look at the moon as being little or nothing. And the verse continues then, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So we look at the moon the way an astronomer would look at it. It's not even a blip on the radar screen. It doesn't amount to anything. In this life, Corinthians 4 continues, we are troubled on every side. One thing after the other, that's our life, it's your life and mine, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. Sometimes we don't know what to do. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but not destroyed. That's your story and mine. Now, the Old Testament especially reveals that the moon was kind of a time clock. The religious festivals of the Jewish nation revolved around the moon. And that's one of the reasons why the moon was a great light. Psalm 81, verse 3, blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed at the solemn feast day. The Jewish year centered upon what we call the lunar year. It depended upon the movements of the moon. Many farmers used to plant their crops and harvest the crops by the different phases of the moon. Farmer's Almanac is still very widely read. Genesis 1:14, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons. And that's where the moon comes into her own. Psalm 104, verse 19, he appointed the moon for seasons. Scientists tell us that the tides are dependent upon the moon. The moon controls so many things on this earth because it's so close. And it's kind of like a time clock. It sets the time when things happen. A picture of you and I, by the way. I think of Isaiah 55, 8, and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And being that he hath appointed the moon for seasons, you know, one of the most comforting sections of all Scripture is found in the opening verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And it covers everything. It starts out this way. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. That's kind of the introduction to the chapter. And then 28 different times are mentioned. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. 28 different times. 28 is 7 times 4. 7 is the number of spiritual perfection in Scripture. 4 is the number of the world. What this list is telling us is that all these different times are controlled by the Almighty God. And the end of the matter is this. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Everything? A time to die? That's beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. A time to lose? That's beautiful. Yeah, it is. Because God's controlling it. And he has made everything beautiful in his time. It all gets down to timing. And the moon was so important than that. If the sun is a type of Jesus Christ, the moon is a type of his people. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul starts out in a way that it had to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. I don't think any preacher would start out this way. He was talking to his congregation at Corinth, and he said this. I'm in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. He's telling the congregation, look around at yourself. What kind of people are sitting here? Not many wise ones. After the flesh, not many mighty ones or noble ones are called. Oh, there were some exceptions. Solomon was very wise and very wealthy, but he was an exception. David was very wise and at times very well. He was an exception also. But usually, you know, we're not people that are bright, shining lights in the world if you look at it from a human side of things. Usually, we're not. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. So from man's point of view, Christians really don't amount to much. He chose the base things of the world, the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Well, that's how man looks at it. Now let's look at how God looks at it. And I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 15. For all things are for your sakes. These are the words of the Almighty God who controls every single thing that happens. Every snowflake that falls is controlled by the Almighty God. He saith unto the snow, be thou on the earth. And every grain of sand in a windstorm is controlled by the Almighty God. And everything that happens, everything, it all things are for your sakes. How important then are you as far as God is concerned? All things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. Yeah, we've got a rough life. We suffer. But there's blessings in all of it. And it's all for our good. And because we know that all things are for our sakes, we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And then finally, a description of your life and mine. For our light affliction, God says, you don't have heavy crosses to bear. You do not. You have light ones. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it's not going to last very long, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So all history is revolving around the people of God. It gets better than that. But before that, the moon doesn't always reflect the light of God, does it? There's a dark side to the moon. A side that's, for us, always in the shadows. And this is true of God's people, too. David was a bright shining moon at times. But then he met Bathsheba and murdered her husband Uriah the Hittite. That was part of his dark side. The dark side in the Bible is called sin, and we all have a dark side. But there's good news for that too, because, you know, sometimes the moon reflects the whole light of it. We call it a full moon. Sometimes it reflects very little light. Sometimes it's only a little crescent. But isn't that beautiful too? You've seen pictures of that. It doesn't have to be a full moon to be beautiful. A little crescent is beautiful. I think of the time when the Shunammite woman had a little son and he died. And she called the prophet Elisha. And Elisha prayed for that little dead boy. And in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 35, it says this: "Then he returned, Elisha, and he walked in the house to and fro." He's walking back and forth. "And he went up and stretched himself upon the child. And the child sneezed 7 times." Now, if a parent has a child that sneezes, that's not a good sign. It's a sign he's getting a cold. But if you have a child that is dead, and you hear him sneeze, that's the greatest sound you've ever heard in your life. Because it's a sign of life, isn't it? A dead corpse can't sneeze. So if there are sneezes, at least there's some sort of life. Well, yeah, you look at the moon and sometimes it's just a sliver. But it's still reflecting some light, isn't it? The light of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That makes it important. And the best part of all is that the moon is not only a symbol of the people of God, it's also a symbol of the bride of Jesus Christ. Now listen to this one. I'm in Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon is a love poem between Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. It's the deepest book in Scripture and probably the most blessed. Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 10 says this: somebody is standing there and they're watching and they see a woman coming up out of the wilderness and they don't know who she is. "Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon?" Who's this beautiful woman that's coming up out of the wilderness? Is so beautiful that we compare her to the moon. "Clear as the sun and terrible as an army with banners." This beautiful woman is a very powerful war machine. She's like an army with banners. Well, what does that relate to? Ephesians 6, verse 12. "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." As the bride of Christ, we are involved in a war. And we're going to scratch the surface on this in the Bible study in a couple of minutes. We have spiritual wickedness in high places that are after our souls. Well, this woman that is coming up from the wilderness is beautiful, and she conquers all these wicked ones. She's victorious in the battle. Amazing. Turning now to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 41. "There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon." Because the sun and the moon right now are not shining with the same intensity, are they? The sun is very bright. The moon reflects the light of the sun. So you've got the sun is a great light, the moon is a great light, but the sun is a greater light than the moon. And then you've got stars. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another in glory. But now look at Isaiah chapter 30, verse 26. Look how this is all going to end up. "Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun." There is going to come a time when this lesser light is going to gleam with the same brightness that the sun does. How's that going to happen? The light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold, more than brighter than we've ever seen it before, as the light of 7 days in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. They're talking about the judgment day here. And when we die, we're buried in weakness. But when we rise from the dead, we're going to rise in glory. That's the promise. And the most amazing thing is this. I'm in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, right now. You and I are children of God right now. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So right now, yes, we're reflecting light. In this life, never a full moon, ever. Always a partial reflecting. Sometimes just a little sliver. But that's beautiful. It's beautiful. Don't you forget that. And don't you forget who you are. Don't ever forget who you are and what you will be. We shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him. That's neat. We'll continue now with the insert hymn in the bulletin for all the saints.